Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by Dan Witham, LPL Financial.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning to you. My name's Russell Mills and this is Money Talk. In the studio with me, as always, Mr. Steve Money, and your host for Money Talk, Mr. Dan Witham. Remember, if you got questions for us today, you can shoot us a text. That number is 95920. Every week, Dan gives away cool books. This is one. Dan, I've not read this title before, but I'm thinking I need to read this book.
We haven't given this one away, Russell. We've never given this book away.
All right,
before,
so tell us about it.
It's one I ran across this past week. It's called Start Late, Finish Rich. It's for those of us that procrastinate and decided to wait a few years before we started saving, if you will.
Yeah.
Or a few decades,
I'm gonna
maybe.
Sign up for that one.
Yeah, for a few of us. It's a no-fail plan for achieving financial freedom at any age, according to the author. It's called Start Late, Finish Rich. And he says you can get there, but you need a plan. He teaches you how to save money, how to put away money, how to invest it. He does everything from A to B to ABC through all the way through Z. And he even gives you websites and spreadsheets to use for your own planning. And this is a good book for a lot of people out there. I run into a lot of people, Steve, that are in their 50s and just haven't accumulated enough money, you know, or any money at that point, and they're kind of behind the curve.
Well, actually, I was going to ask for a friend, just how old can you be and how late can you wait? I'm just asking.
That's right. Anyhow, we'll send you a free copy of this excellent book. If you'd like a copy of it, just give me a call. We'll also send you information on our momentum strategy that's been averaging about 24% a year over 20 years with no down years, and we're going to explain that a little bit today on the show and go into it. But this book has a lot of things that I think are very interesting, you know, like the spreadsheets, the websites, and he teaches you not just how to invest, but also how to save money, how to cut your expenses and do things like that as well, along with how and where to invest your money. This guy also wrote a book, the same author, David Bach, who wrote this, wrote a book called The Automatic Millionaire, Steve, which is a very good book, which I have given away before, and it's an excellent book also. So he's certainly knowledgeable on the subject matter. We'll send you a free copy of the book and the information on our momentum strategy. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give me a call. The number, 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Now, it is the weekend, of course, so you will get our voicemail. All we ask is that you leave your name and your address, please. When you get our voicemail, we will send that information out to you and the book absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. I've been doing this, I think, 12 years now, Steve. Believe it or not, I started back in 07. It's been a while. Been a day or two, but I've given away a lot of books over the years.
Yes, you have.
Thousands and thousands of books, I can tell you. Many, many, many thousands of books. So my Amazon account tells me anyway.
Well, I remember a few years ago, you couldn't even get the books. I mean, you were buying people out, you know.
And it does happen. Now I have to look every week when I do a book. I have to look to see if there's enough copies available because sometimes we do run out of books.
Wow.
And so they're not always in great supply. Depends on the book and who the author is. Anyhow, I was out driving around Creek County yesterday, Steve, having fun, working patrol.
Yep.
Doing my thing, and I love it when we arrest the guy, and he says, it's not my truck. It's not my stuff. Whatever you find in there, it's not mine.
I tell him just to shut up, man. Yeah,
if you find something in my truck, it's not mine. If it's bad, it's not mine.
So I had this preliminary hearing this past week, and this is no exaggeration. This is the case. Two guys get arrested. One guy has drugs up the keister, but my guy gets charged with possession of drugs that's in the other guy's keister. Okay?
That's right.
And so we get through the preliminary hearing, and unfortunately, my guy decided it was a good idea to talk to the police that day. And
never a good idea.
And literally, I said, you need to look at the poster on my door because it says, shut the bleep up. And literally, the only reason this guy got bound over was because he opened his mouth.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, bro, be quiet, man. I don't know how many times I got to say this.
Yeah, the Miranda warning exists for a reason.
I'll tell you, a lot of cops do this. Give the Miranda warning and go, I'm begging you, exercise your Fifth Amendment right.
Right.
I am begging you to remain silent.
Yes, and I've been known to tell people that occasionally.
Oh, I did too. Man, back in the day, I did too.
Have you guys seen the Shut the F Word Up website? There's these attorneys in Los Angeles. Oh, Steve, you sent me that video.
Not only do I have it, I have a poster made of it.
That's right.
And it's on my door.
That's
and
right.
When clients come in, I point to it.
Right.
That's the only legal advice you need in the criminal law world.
Shut the bleep up.
Yes.
I love that website.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about money for a second. I'm going to change gears on you, Steve.
If we must.
Okay. Biweekly mortgages. I've talked about this. It's been about a year since I mentioned this on the show. I want to cover this ground again because I think it's extremely important. I was sitting down with a young man the other day, and I was telling him that he should look into this. He's doing a lot of things right. He's in his 20s and investing money already and putting away a lot of money. But anyhow, the biweekly mortgage is a concept that can save you a lot of money and a lot of time. What it is, and let me explain first of all what it is and what you do. Instead of making a monthly mortgage payment, Steve, as we all know, most mortgage payments are monthly.
Correct.
Say you're paying $1,000 a month on a $200,000 mortgage. Let's just say you have a 30-year mortgage at 5% and your payment is $1,000, and that's just principal and interest. This doesn't include insurance, taxes, and all that stuff. Okay. Not the escrow amount, just the principal and interest, the loan amount solely. So you're paying $1,000 a month. Instead of doing that, you take and you pay $500 every 2 weeks, not twice a month, but every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
So it's a little more than twice a month. You're going to be making 13 annual payments, 13 of which were your monthly payments, in a 12-month period.
Right.
So you're going to pay $13,000 in that year instead of $12,000 like you were with the regular monthly mortgage. But you're also eliminating a lot of the interest because you're paying the interest quicker. When you make that $500 payment 2 weeks after you made your month-end payment before, you're cutting off a lot of the interest, you know, that's going to accumulate. So what happens, even if you just pay $500 every 2 weeks when you were paying $1,000 a month before, if you pay $500 every 2 weeks, you take a 30-year mortgage and you cut it to a 24-year mortgage without applying any extra money to the principal. That's if you don't overpay. You know, just pay the $500 every 2 weeks instead of $1,000, right?
Yep.
So, of course, if you pay more, you know, pay $600 every 2 weeks or something like that, you're going to bring it in even shorter. You're going to pay it off a lot quicker. But it brings a 30-year mortgage down to a 24-year mortgage, and it saves you $36,000 at the same time.
Yeah, you're saving 6 years of interest there.
Yes. And you're paying your mortgage for 6 years shorter, which is going to be beneficial, obviously, to you in the long run to do, because you got 6 years of no house payment.
That's what I'm saying. Not only the interest, but your entire house payment.
Right. You've got 6 years of no house payment, and it's just a great benefit to an individual. And it's a very simple thing to do. It's not rocket science. Yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more in a year. You know, you're going to pay a 13th one extra payment in a year, but you're probably not going to notice it. You know, once you start doing it after a year or two, you're not even going to notice it. And the other thing you could do, in addition to doing this, if you can afford it, is pay, you know, $50 or $100 extra above whatever the payment is. Instead of paying $500, pay $550 or pay $600. It's not going to kill most people to do that. It might hurt, you know, some people might not be able to do it, but a lot of people could probably do this. Even a marginal amount, even if you pay $25 extra, it's going to help. Anything you pay extra is going to help. Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen. If you don't pay on that mortgage, you're going to spend that money on something else.
I was going to say, you know, that you're going to skip a couple of dinners a month.
Right. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is if you have the money going to your bank account, you're going to spend it.
Right.
If it goes in there, you're going to spend it. You're just going to go out and buy, whether it's an extra 12-pack or whatever it might be, or go buy something and go to dinner or whatever it might be. Go to McDonald's or go to Sonic in Steve's case.
That Dollar Tree is pretty tempting, yeah.
Yeah, and for Steve.
Yeah, go to Sonic for me, man.
Yeah, so Steve hangs out at Sonic in case you're ever looking for him. That's all you need to do is drive to local Sonic.
If you see me out there with a basket looking for quarters, I'm not kidding. I need them.
So anyhow, the biweekly mortgage is a concept that I'm a big fan of, and I think that a lot of people can benefit from it. It's very easy to implement. All you have to do really is call up your mortgage company and say, hey, I want to do this every 2 weeks. And you've got to make sure when you call them to tell them to apply the payments the right way and tell them what you're trying to do. Like if you're paying an extra $100 a month, make sure they apply that toward the principal and not toward the interest going forward for the next payment period. You want to apply it to the principal if you're paying above what your payment amount is. You know, if you're paying $1,100 a month or $1,200 a month instead of $1,000, make sure they apply it the correct way. Because as I learned last week, they don't always do that. I have an employee who used to work in the mortgage business, and she told me you've got to make sure you tell them explicitly to do that. Otherwise, they will just apply it to the interest, and you won't get to make as much headway as you think you're making. So For anybody who's out there wondering about it, there's plenty of books available on the subject, and there's websites. I went to Bankrate.com, and they actually have a, which is a very well-known website, Bankrate.com has a calculator for you that will tell you how much you'll save on the biweekly mortgage, how much it'll shorten your mortgage by. The amortization table is on there, and it also shows you how much in dollar terms you can save on interest. You put in your principal, you know, whatever your amount is that's due on the mortgage, your interest rate, and then it calculates it all for you and gives you an answer and says you'll save X amount of dollars. On the one I ran, the $200,000 example, it saved $36,000, cut it from $186,000 in interest to $150,000 over the life of the mortgage. That's a significant amount.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, and you're better off keeping it. Because for 6 years, at the end of the mortgage, when the mortgage stops at year 24, you keep making those payments, but you can put them in your bank account,
in your investment account,
in your 401k, wherever you want to put them. You can just send those somewhere to benefit you as opposed to your friendly banker.
Pay yourself that amount of money.
That's right.
All right, we're going to have a little Fats Dominoes. We head out to break real quick, guys. We're going to take a quick time out. You are listening to Money Talk. We are live and local in the big city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll be right back after a quick time out on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
There she was. Just walking down the street singing.
Oh, welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and the AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center, your forecast from Fox 23, and then at the top of the hour, it's Fox News Sunday. They'll be talking about Joe Biden today. I guarantee it. If you have questions for us, you can text us at 95920. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and Mr. Dan Witham gives away books like Christmas candy. And today being no exception.
That helps if
Russell turns up his microphone.
All right, anyhow, brother. The book this week is Start Late, Finish Rich, A No-Fail Plan for Achieving Financial Freedom at Any Age. Easy for me to say, huh? I just can't get it at the words out today.
It's contagious. I came in, and I've been on a roll all day.
Well, this is a book that I think will help a lot of people out there, because there's a lot of people that procrastinate on their financial lives, and it's time to get their act together. And if you're one of those people, you might want this book, along with the information on our Momentum Strategy that's made about 24% a year for 20 years with no down years. We'll send you the information and the book absolutely free, no cost, no obligation whatsoever. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail. We'll send that book and the information out to you. Absolutely free, no cost, no obligation whatsoever. Steve, I want to talk about interest rates.
All right.
Interest rates. Normally, we have a thing called the yield curve, which is a graph of the interest rates the U.S. Treasuries are yielding, okay?
All right.
At the short end, the left side of the curve is the short term, like the 1 month, 3 month Treasury bills. At the right end of the curve is the 30-year and the 20-year and the 10-year Treasuries, the longer ones, right?
All right.
Normally, the curve is upward sloping. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The longer term Treasury bills, Treasury bonds pay higher yields than the shorter term ones, right? Which would be to be expected, just like a mortgage. You know, if you take a 30-year mortgage, you're going to pay more than you would for a 5-year mortgage or a 10-year mortgage.
That's how that works, yep.
Right now, the 10-year U.S. Treasury is yielding 2.41%. It has come down in the last month from 2.76 to 2.41. The one-month Treasury bill yields 2.43, more than the 10-year.
And why is that?
That is because the market thinks the short-term rates are going to come down. Thinks the short end of the curve is going to drop. So the long end has already dropped is what's happening.
Yeah.
And this is called an inverted yield curve, what we call an inverted yield curve in our business. What it means is, excuse me, the market thinks a recession is on the horizon. Now, this doesn't mean the market's right necessarily. You gotta keep in mind, this has happened before. Sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes they get it wrong. But that's kind of what they're saying. That's the signal they're sending, is that the economy's headed for recession. Now, the Fed has said they're not going to raise rates anymore this year. Okay, they said this about a month ago. So they may be thinking along the same lines. But I'll give you a number that gives me reason for pause here. As I've said many, 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 many times on this show, watch housing,
yep.
Watch housing, right?
Yes, sir.
February housing starts down 8.7%. That's not good.
No, but what was it up before that?
They've been up and down the last couple months, but 8.7 is a significant drop.
Yes, it is.
Anthony Mozilla, who used to be the head of Countrywide many, many years ago, once said on national television, I still remember this, he said, housing always leads the economy into and out of a recession. Always.
I agree with that.
And there are no exceptions. The reason being, housing, the building, the construction, the materials, the financing, and the insurance of housing constitute 25% of our gross domestic product.
Wow.
That is statistically significant.
I did not realize it was that much.
Yeah, it's a huge number. It is an enormous number. It's about the same as healthcare. Healthcare is probably in that range, I'd have to guess, close to that.
Yep.
So it's a very significant amount. It's one of the biggest factors in our economy. The other thing is, people don't like it when their home value drops. People know it when there's a real estate recession. They're well aware of it when they can't sell their homes, things like that. And it creates a feeling of fear or malaise, if you will, like we had back in 2008. Now, I don't think we're in line for anything similar to what we saw in 2008. Don't get me wrong. But we have recessions every now and then. They're part of the business cycle. They happen. These things happen. We had one here in Oklahoma in 2015 when oil prices dropped precipitously.
Yep.
And oil prices can cause a recession in Oklahoma by and of and by themselves. And they have done this many times. So, a recession could mean we're down 1 or 2% on GDP. It could mean we're down 3 or 4%, like we saw in 2008. I don't think it's necessarily huge.
Yeah, I'd have trouble thinking that's going to happen.
Right. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't think that's what we're looking at. But we just have to be prepared, and we have to watch the housing numbers. And like I've said before, 1 month does not make a trend. So we'll look at the numbers again at the end of March and see what they look like, see what the March numbers look like, see how they come in. If they're up or if they're flat, then I'm not nearly as concerned. But if they're down 5% or down 8% or down 10%, we might want to take notice.
Well, and now that that drumbeat's on the horizon, this is why we talk about week in and week out for umpteen years now about having a plan. We just sit here and watch right now. Don't know what's going to happen. Don't make some jump thinking this will happen or that won't happen. Just kind of sit here and have a plan. So no matter if the market zigs or zags, you've got a plan.
That's right. Absolutely. And, on another note, another topic that might cause or exacerbate us heading into a recession could be the trade talks with China. So far the trade talks have been up and down. They've been all over the map, so to speak, and hasn't impacted us too terribly, although it has hurt the steel industry. We talked about this a while back.
Yeah.
The tariffs that we put on the imported steel actually hurt U.S. steel producers, which is what normally happens in a tariff.
That's right.
That's normally what happens when you impose a tariff. I can tell you from studying economics, the only party that benefits from a tariff is the government.
That's right.
Because it's a tax. Basically, it's a tax on an imported good.
Exactly right.
And the producers do not benefit from the tariff, whether the importers or the domestic producers. They typically are harmed by the tariff. The government benefits from the tariff, and that is the only party that benefits from a tariff normally, in normal circumstances. And that's kind of what we're finding out with the steel tariffs on the Chinese steel and all these things. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Like I said, I think the tariffs that Trump's using are just a means to an end. I don't think they're the end in and of itself. I think he wants a better trade deal.
It was a tool to get something else accomplished.
Right, and I think that's all he's trying to do. I don't think he wants to have these tariffs in place permanently, at least I hope not. I don't think he does. Of course, he's got Larry Kudlow advising him, and Larry Kudlow is one of the smartest men on Wall Street, I will tell you.
And I like him, and I sent you an article about Stephen Moore maybe going on the Fed, and Art Laffer helped write his book, which I didn't realize.
Right.
So, I mean, they're getting people who are pretty smart and pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah, these guys are pretty knowledgeable, and Larry Kudlow is certainly one of the smartest policymakers, I think, that they've ever hired in Washington to bring in, because he absolutely understands how the markets work and how tariffs work, how all these things function. And so he's certainly the one that we need to pay attention to. And I think Mr. Trump's getting good advice in that regard.
Hey, thanks for choosing this song today, Dan Witham.
I love this song.
No, I love the Fleetwoods. And the little sound, the little chick-chick in the back, that's their car keys.
Really?
Oh, man.
A little music trivia for you. All right, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, Start Late, Finish Rich, call Dan's office, 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they can send you the book. 918-398-8387. More Money Talk after the news on News 102.3 KRMG.
Talking about money, because it's Money Talk. Welcome back to Money Talk.
Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in less than half an hour, it's time for Fox News Sunday. If you've got questions for us today, you can text us at 95920. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and he's got a book all about money that you want to read. You don't know it yet. He's about to tell you why. And it's free, right? No charge.
Absolutely right. It sure is. The book's called Start Late, Finish Rich, A No-Fail Plan for Achieving Financial Freedom at Any Age. You can get a free copy of it and information on our momentum strategy, chugging out at 24% a year with no down years over the last 20 years. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address, please, when you get that, and we'll send that book and the information out to you absolutely free. Steve, we were talking about the market before the break and the economy. Volatility. I want to talk about our momentum strategy. I want to talk about volatility.
Yep.
There are some new exchange-traded funds out there. I'm going to explain what that is in a minute. But there are some newer exchange-traded funds that actually offer lower volatility, exposure to stocks, but with lower volatility. They're designed this way on purpose. And I put these in my portfolios, momentum strategy portfolio, and some of these other ones that I use. I use them intentionally because I really like them. There's a bunch of different issuers that have them. iShares, Vanguard has one, First Trust has one, and they have a variety of different names. We have them in small cap, large cap, mid cap, even international, you know, low volatility. I really like these ETFs because they get good performance, but they have less volatility, less movement to them than what your traditional portfolios have. But I want to explain before I get too far.
Let me ask you this before you get too far.
Yes.
For people maybe that's not heard this before, what's the difference in risk and volatility? Because they sound very much alike.
Well, a lot of people use volatility as a measure of risk. Okay, Wall Street typically uses volatility as a measure of risk, standard deviation, if you will. The amount of variance from the average where the least squares line is that goes through the series of dots, right? Okay, yep. Data points. That's your volatility or standard deviation, if you will. But, you know, ultimately risk really, to me, is determined by do you arrive at your destination or do you not?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. You know, if we have to accumulate 10% a year, or let's say we have to accumulate $500,000 for somebody to retire, or $1 million, whatever it might be for them to retire, that's the risk. Are we going to get where we need to go? Are we going to arrive at our destination ultimately or not? It's not really how much do we have to put up with in the meantime, not really how much volatility, how much movement do we have to put up in the meantime. That's my opinion. Not everybody agrees with that opinion. I will tell you, not everybody agrees with me on that, but that's how I perceive risk.
But you do go to Harvard, so.
So, well.
Harvard.
So is Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, man.
She teaches there, in fact. So.
Pocahontas.
Yeah. Let's talk about what an exchange-traded fund is. I want to explain this because there's a lot of people that may not have heard of these things or aren't familiar with them and never bought one. Exchange-traded funds are kind of like mutual funds, only faster, better, and cheaper.
What's wrong with that?
Okay. They're like a mutual fund on steroids, yep. In my opinion. Okay. Exchange-traded funds trade on the exchange. When you buy or sell a mutual fund, Steve, like say Vanguard S&P 500 fund, when you buy or sell that fund, you're buying it from Vanguard or selling it back to Vanguard.
Okay.
That's a mutual fund. That's what we call an open-end mutual fund. That's how it works. So the buyer and the seller is you and Vanguard, and that's it. Those are the two parties to the transaction, right?
Okay.
No matter what.
And I can't sell it to anybody else.
Correct. It's always to Vanguard. You're buying from Vanguard or you're selling it to Vanguard.
Gotcha.
An exchange-traded fund, if you and I are both participants in the stock market, you could sell it to me through the market, through an intermediary in the market, a brokerage firm, or you could buy it from me the same way.
Okay.
Okay. So they're traded like stocks, which is how stocks are traded at the initial offering.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly the same way stocks are traded. ETFs, exchange traded funds, are also more transparent. You can go to SPDR's website, which is a huge ETF provider, and you can see on any given day what is in any of their ETFs. They're updated daily on the screen.
Okay.
Okay. So if you go pull up SPY, which is one of the biggest ones out there, probably the biggest, you'll see exactly what's in it today and what the weightings are of all the stocks. If you go to a mutual fund company, to Fidelity's website, and you pull up one of their mutual funds and want to see what's in their mutual fund, they'll show you what was in there 6 months ago.
Oh, man. Well, that's not that helpful.
They're required to update at the end of the quarter what they did last quarter, basically.
Oh, man.
And so for 3 months, you're just kind of in the dark.
That's like government accounting there.
Well, it's not that they're doing anything wrong, but that's just the way
the rules are.
Right. For mutual funds were invented in the 1930s. And believe it or not, the laws that govern mutual funds were written in the 1930s that still govern mutual funds, and they really haven't been changed much. And this is part of the dilemma that we face in my business with mutual funds and why they're kind of getting left behind by exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds came into being in the 1990s, and so they're a much newer product, obviously. Another advantage to an exchange-traded fund, Steve, is you and I, if you want to get rid of your SPY that you have, let's say, you can sell it at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can sell it at 9:05. You can sell it at 9:30, anytime you want to in the market.
Anytime during the day.
Right. It trades like a stock throughout the day.
Versus?
A mutual fund, if you want to sell your mutual fund, you can sell it at 3 o'clock.
To the one customer that'll buy.
Right. And you can only sell it at 3 o'clock. And by the way, if you want to know what price you'll get on your mutual fund, no.
Tell you at 3 o'clock.
We'll tell you after we do the trade.
Tell you at 3:01.
It's the Nancy Pelosi version.
You got to sell it to see what it was worth.
You got to sell it to find out what you got for it. Yeah. You'll find out after it's over. With an ETF, you can say, I'm going to sell SPY only if it's at 105 or better. Or you can sell it at 103 or whatever it might be. You can set a limit on what's called a limit. But with a mutual fund, you cannot do that. You can only sell a mutual fund at today's price.
Yeah.
It's like a market order, basically what we call a market order. So, and you don't find out what you got for it until the next day, is when you find out what you got for it.
Kind of not that fun.
Well, you're right. Another huge advantage that exchange-traded funds have, in my book, is this. Mutual funds' average cost, internal fees and expenses, run about 1% to 1.5% per year.
Okay,
so let's just call it 1%, just to make it simple, make the math easier here. The exchange-traded funds that we use average 0.05% to 0.1%.
Oh, my god!
So 5/100ths of a percent to 10/100ths of a percent. So 1/10th to 1/20th of what a mutual fund costs you, somewhere in there is what they run. So they're much, much cheaper than a mutual fund is to run. And the reason is, when Vanguard's selling those shares to you, guess what they got to do to get you to buy those shares? They got to advertise.
That's right.
And they advertise on TV. And if you don't believe me, just turn on CNBC and watch for a Fidelity commercial. It'll take you about 30 seconds to see one. I can promise you that's about all the longer it'll take. Whereas exchange-traded funds don't really have to do that. They don't have to keep advertising and keep marketing, doing all this stuff. Mutual fund companies pay wholesalers, there's a family of individuals that are called wholesalers in my business, to call people like me and bug me all day long. And believe me, they do. They call my office every day, 30 times a day, trying to get me to sell their mutual funds, for lack of a better term. So that's an expense. That's an added expense.
Do they also ask you to sell their annuities?
The insurance companies, are you kidding? Nonstop. Yeah.
Man, I can't imagine that. I'd like to be a fly on the wall hearing that conversation with you and one of those guys.
Yeah, because my staff, when Cindy or Shannon answers the phone, they're like, you called the wrong office. They're like, you don't want to talk to him. He's not going to help
you. No hable annuity.
Yeah, he doesn't. And they just tell him he doesn't sell annuities, doesn't do annuities, doesn't like annuities. They tell him. So most of them don't call too much anymore. Another disadvantage to mutual funds is, there's a rule for mutual funds and exchange-traded funds that says they have to distribute 95% of their capital gains in the same year that they realize them. So if your mutual fund owns Apple this year and they sell it, and they bought it 20 years ago and they have a huge gain, they've got to distribute that amount this year in the same calendar year. The same is true for an exchange-traded fund. However, exchange-traded funds don't have much turnover in their portfolio because they're relatively static.
Yeah.
So they don't have as much in capital gains distributions, whereas some mutual funds have over 100% turnover per year, where they turn the whole portfolio over in a given year. And sometimes that does happen, not too often, but there are some that do that kind of stuff. And so they have to make distributions. Last year, there are people out there that got capital gain distributions last year, Steve, that lost money for the year in the fund, and yet they got taxed on it.
I was getting ready to ask, what if I'm one of these people that I just bought into the mutual fund this year?
Right.
And they happened to, the fund owned XYZ stock.
Yes.
And they sold it. And they made a capital gain. And I just bought into it this year.
Well, that is the beauty of mutual funds, is you don't get your cost basis in that stock. You get the fund's cost basis on that stock. So if they bought an Apple at $5 a share 20 years ago, and you bought the fund this year when it was at $300, and they sell Apple, you get the gain from $5 up to the current price, to $305, let's just say. You get hit with all that gain.
But did I pay $300 to get in, or I just paid X amount of dollars
to get
in?
Well, you paid for the mutual fund, but you bought it when Apple was at $300. So you really didn't get all that gain, but you're going to get taxed on all that gain.
So it's like you bought it when it was worth $5.
That's what the IRS says.
Well,
they think you bought one that was worth five, even though you didn't. They
I'll
think
exercise my Fifth Amendment right on that one. And
that's how the tax law works. Yeah. And so, you know, you just got to be careful. And that's just one of the downsides to mutual funds. And I do like mutual funds, don't get me wrong. But there are certain advantages to exchange-traded funds that they have that are inherent. And these are just a few of them.
All right, guys. Well, that little piece of saxophone music means we need to take a quick time out. If you'd like a free copy of today's book, Start Late, Finish Rich, Dan's happy to send you one absolutely free. Just call his office at 918-398-8383. 87. That's 918-398-8387 for the free book. More Money Talk after a quick timeout on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Welcome back to turn my own microphone off. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Hey, did I mention I'm having a day? Well, I am. Coming up here at the top of the hour, it's Fox News Sunday, and they're going to be talking about Joe Biden. And if you think I'm having a day, yeah, we'll tell you here what Joe's been putting up with today. And then, of course, we'll have your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. Tell you all about your forecast, all that. But first, more Money Talk with Dan Witham. Remember, you can text your questions to 95920, and Dan is going to give you a free book just for giving him a call. Tell him all about it, sir.
That's right. We have a book called Start Late, Finish Rich, A No-Fail Plan for Achieving Financial Freedom at Any Age. You can get a free copy of this book and information on our momentum strategy we're going to talk about right now with average returns of 24% a year for 20 years with no down years. Just give me a call for the book and the information, 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address, please, when you get our voicemail, and we will send that information out to you. Steve, I say that 1,000 times a show, and yet I still get people to call up and we'll leave something other than their name and their address. It never fails, but that's okay.
You know, we don't know how much simpler to make this.
We just call them back and get the information from them. Anyhow, yeah, and I love giving away books and sending out that stuff to people. And we're going to talk about strategy here for a few minutes, Steve, the momentum strategy that I've talked about, polymorphic momentum. I know it's a complex term. But what it is, simply to simplify the strategy, we take eight lists of 10 exchange-traded funds in different industries, different types of things, and we rank them every month and only by the top number one on the list, the thought being even if it finishes the month at number two, it's still going to be above the average for the 10.
That's right. You're still not bad.
We're trying to bet on the fastest horse in the race, so to speak, what we think is going to be the fastest horse in the race. And I'm going to go through a couple of these lists that we have. I thought I'd print off the information, go through a couple of these lists, because I always refer to them on the show, but I never really go into specifics on what's in these lists, what kind of funds are in these lists. There's one on here that I've got that has on it, it's got a Brazilian ETF, a U.S. real estate exchange-traded funds, aerospace and defense, another one is technology, another one is mid-cap growth. Let's see, I've got some gold miners on here, global wind energy, Steve, China's in there, semiconductors, solar energy, home builders, and emerging markets. So a whole plethora.
That's a bunch.
Those are all different things. And the nice part is they're not correlated to each other, right?
They have nothing to do with each other.
They have nothing in common, kind of like
nothing in common,
us
right.
And our ex-wives.
Yeah, a couple of things in common there. Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of which, where is that lady?
Well, the beautiful Krista Taylor, unfortunately, I think has caught that thing I had about 3 weeks ago. Oh. In fact, I had to call in sick for the radio show because I literally had no voice. And she started it last night, and I told her, I'm afraid her next 2 or 3 weeks aren't going to be that much fun.
I hope she feels better. I know she's listening to us. I hope she feels better. Anyhow, this list of exchange-traded funds that I just went through, the Brazil, the real estate, and all this, aerospace and defense, this list, average return over 14, 15 years, is north of 48% per year.
You know, that's just hard to even imagine.
Well, because it's cycling through the list. It's only picking the number one. What it thinks is the number one each
still,
month.
That's a great return.
Yes. And so it also goes to bonds and down markets. It exits the market, you know, the stocks and down markets and moves to bonds. So that's part of why it has good returns as well. There's another list on here I've got that has, let's see if I can read this. I don't have my glasses with me, but I wish I did. Small cap healthcare, Steve, is on here. Technology is on here. Internet stocks, mid cap value stocks, semiconductors. We've got timber on here, Asia, emerging markets, China, and gold miners. So a lot of different things on that list also.
So if a listener wants to get involved with that, do they have to pick this stuff or they call you and you guys figure it out? Or what's the mechanics on that?
Excellent question. No, we do all the choosing for them. We run the software program that does it for us. It does 16 million calculations every month. It ranks all the exchange-traded funds every month on every list, and it gives me the answers and says, buy this one for this list, this one for this list. And so we buy 8 of these in the portfolio, and then we add in some core holdings, which are some of the low-volatility ETFs that I talked about at the beginning earlier in the show. And we throw some of those in there and leave them alone, and they're kind of the stable part of the portfolio. These are the go-fast part of the portfolio, the momentum strategies, the go-fast, kind of the movers and the shakers, and that's what we want them to do. We want them to go fast and move, and they bounce around, but we allocate the weightings to keep it to a minimum, the volatility of the overall portfolio, depending on the client. We can put more weighting in this momentum strategy or less weighting in the momentum strategy, and then we balance it with the core portfolio, which doesn't move nearly as much. And so this can give them a higher rate of return or a lower rate of return risk, depending on what the individual profile of the client is. The second list that I was just describing has averaged about 34% a year over the last 17 years. So these things have pretty high returns pretty consistently.
So that would include 08. Would it not?
Yes, 08's in these periods. Yes, then they went to bonds in 08, I can tell you, because I've looked back at the data, gone back and looked over it, and these things moved all the money out of stocks to bonds in about the middle of 08. Another list on here, I know I'm getting short on time. We've got Brazil on this one. We've got medical devices on here, Steve, something near and dear to your heart. Emerging markets, pharmaceuticals, gold miners, China, semiconductors, and home construction, home builders. And so we're trying to get lists that have diverse industries and diverse sectors in them. We don't want everything in the same thing, because then that hurts your performance over time, because even home builders aren't always going to be doing great. You know, they might be during certain periods, but they're not always going to be doing fantastic. So we want to be able to rotate that money out to something else that's doing better. And that really is what the strategy comes down to. It's momentum. It's trying to buy the fastest horse in the race based on the race that we just ran last month's, you know, data, whatever you will, if you will. And so we're trying to have what we think is going to be the best one for the next month going forward. Even if it doesn't finish the month at number one, if it comes in number two or three, we still beat the average. So we're still ahead of the game, so to speak. And, you know, it's like I said before, if you have 10 horses in a race and the number one horse has won every race for the last 10 races, well, that's where you're going to bet your money.
You know, number one last month typically doesn't go to number 12 the next month.
Right.
But again, this is the top 10. So even number 10 is not a slouch.
Right.
But you're still, so you're picking the best of the best.
We just want the number one horse, so to speak, on each list every month. Now, we don't always know which one's going to be number one, but we're basing it on what the recent performance was. So we do have a good indicator, and history has proven, obviously, with these numbers that it's fairly consistent at beating the market, because these have trounced the market over a 20-year period.
All right, guys. So if somebody gets the free book today, do they get information about that polymorphic momentum strategy?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
That's included?
Yes.
And it's all absolutely free?
That would be correct.
Wow. All right. So you want that, right? Free copy of today's book and information on that polymorphic momentum strategy. Why not? The book's called Start Late, Finish Rich. You can have it all free. Just call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address, 918-398-8387. You've been listening to Money Talk, live and local on News 102.3 KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. See you next Sunday.